CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Wilson, Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness, Mikhail Myers, financial consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul with Friends and your host, Lori Houston. And today is the third week of the month. So we have Mikhail Myers. And so this is your first show. Yay.
I am so excited to be here, Lori.
And we are going to be talking about abundance and financial consciousness and, you know, bringing that around so that people can maybe, let's put it at the place where there are a lot of people that are in fear right now. There's a lot of fear, especially in the States, and CBS, we're in the States, even though we're from Canada and we're in Toronto and we're talking from here. Mm-hmm. Our audience is all in the States. And, you know, we get a lot of calls about concerns financially, and when stuff happens over there, like, we feel it. Well, everybody's been feeling it. But certainly, financial consciousness would be a great place to sort of help a lot of people, because they are struggling, and there is a lot of fear around it. And Mikhail, you have kind of done it, come back from it, and are now here to be in service to allow a lot of people to.
So what are you saying, that I've been deeply unconscious?
Well, you've been deeply in the financial game.
Yeah. Yeah, and deeply unconscious. Your implication was correct, Lori. Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit so people understand who you are?
Sure. I'd be happy to. So, you know, my story is one of being deeply unconscious in business and having, you know, the universe drop a boulder on my head to wake me up. I started my life really as a introvert, you know, artistic, creative, and as I went through school, I got a degree in philosophy.
Really?
And I'm sorry?
Really?
Really, yeah. And why are you surprised?
I thought it was in business.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't in business. And philosophy is fantastic training for really anything, because it helps you to think logically. But, you know, if I could have listened to my inner voice at the time and been conscious, I would have moved to the Middle East and become a novelist. I love Ernest Hemingway, and I would have written my version of A Farewell to Arms, soaked up that conflict in the Middle East. But, you know, there was a strong material pull that seduced me into believing that I needed money and power and success in order to be safe and secure in the world. And so instead of following my inner calling, I got caught up in society, and I went out and I did the get a job, you know, try to get a job thing. But the truth is, you know, I got my first job in commission sales in commercial real estate. I was, you know, brokering buildings. And I didn't have the personality that could ever work for anybody. But there was this sort of energy that started working through me as I got into business that was almost, it was voracious in a lot of ways. You could describe it as ambition, but it wasn't really ambition. It was, like, I gotta do it. I gotta get more. It was like, I mean, you could actually see the energy as maybe this dark creature with fangs, which was hidden by, you know, the person you see right here. Very, and the velvet hammer. I was very soft. I would have these conversations, but deep down inside, there was this voracious wanting. And so did well in commercial real estate and decided to build a number of businesses. Some worked out really well. Some were spectacular failures. And eventually made my way into financial services because I felt, oh, look, here's what I want to do now. I want to make as much money as I possibly can, so then I'll be able to do what I love, which is write and compose music and things like that. And I think a lot of people go through that in their lives. Let me just make enough money, then I can do what I want, not integrating the fact that there's no such thing as work life, right? It's all life. you know, and the two have to be aligned. Your vocation needs to be aligned to the evolutionary trajectory of your soul in order for you to achieve true happiness. I certainly didn't realize that at the time. So I got into venture capital and investment banking, started my own merchant bank, and really lucky. I did it around 98, 99, 2000, and there was the .com boom at that point in time, and we ended up financing some technology companies. I mean, I worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, didn't see my wife, didn't see my kids, really blinded by this, you know, this force of ambition and competition and scarcity. And, you know, underneath all of that is fear. And we can get into that a little bit in a second, but, you know, blinded by all of that. And so before I was 35, I created an 8-figure net worth. And you would think, you know, okay, you created an 8-figure net worth. That should make you happy. I was happy for 6 months only. And then I said, gotta get more. I need more in order to feel okay.
Because it's never enough. Our egos are always pushing it to be more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I had a teacher that said, you know, wanting only creates more wanting. It can never be satisfied. It's a phenomenal book by Gabor Mate called In the Realms of the Hungry Ghost. And that's a lot of what we live in today in society, right? We're addicted to more. More is better. Which manifests, you know, at the highest levels in a seductive and destructive force of greed, which is kind of the story of the early part of my life, right? So I'll cut to the chase here. So created the 8-figure net worth. Then I said, okay, I'm gonna create an investment management company with a partner of mine in my merchant bank. And so we started an investment management company, and within 3 years we raised just under $1 billion in capital. We were like high flyers and, you know, accolades. A lot of people thought, you know, we were great, you know, doing amazing things in business. And decided to push the envelope a little bit too far. And what I did, what my partner and I did, was we figured out a way, I'm not going to get too technical here, but to finance the growth of our business using a part of the investor's money. We made it legal, but it was unethical. It was by the letter of the law, you know, not by the spirit of the law. And make a long story short, Securities Commission came in to do a routine audit. They didn't like what they saw. They shut the business down. And then my former partner decided that he wanted to appropriate $15 million from one of the funds, which he did. Wired the money offshore, bought diamonds, buried the diamonds in the ground, and this whole thing became a high-profile media circus, which for me was absolutely the most humiliating time of my life. I mean, I spent, you know, months in fetal position on my floor saying, like, what's the purpose? Like, why is this happening to me? Why do I exist? Where am I going? What's my purpose? You know, asking the real questions that mm-hmm. none of us really ask. We're kind of born into society, and we just get caught up in society. So I took my A-type personality and went inward with it, and I did an inward journey, and I saw everybody from therapists to spiritual teachers, trans-channelers, you know, every modality there was, just trying to understand the nature of reality and why I got myself into the situation I got into. And, you know, I learned a tremendous amount. In the meantime, the authorities here charged both my partner and I for fraud. Even though I didn't steal anything from anybody, I still got charged because he took the $15 million. And, I decided, well, I had two choices. All my money was basically disappearing. Either I could fight this and get off, and it would take a long time because here in Canada, things don't go to trial as quickly as they do in the United States. And if I did fight it, it would mean there would be scheming and some dishonesty and strategizing. And I just, what I learned is, you know, my life has to be as simple as possible. And my life has to be about truth and honor. And I have a wife and I have three little girls. And how can I tell them that not to lie and to be honest and be ethical in the world if I I'm continuing to scheme within the legal system. So I decided to go to the authorities, contrary to the advice of, you know, many lawyers who said, you know, you're unprotected and that's not the right strategy and so on and so forth. I went. And at the end of the day, after prolonged negotiations and interviews and so on and so forth, I had to get into incarceration, which I got a 2-year sentence, prison sentence, and I ended up serving 6 months, which isn't a lot of time, but I got to tell you, it's a life-changing experience, especially, you know, to go to your three little girls and, you know, tell them daddy made some mistakes and he's got to go away for 6 months and, you know, to see the tears in their eyes and just them bawling and putting my family through what I put my family through and, you know, all. And it was really all as a result of greed at the end of the day. You know, when I do kind of a post-mortem analysis of it, I say, you know, unconscious, voracious wanting that cannot be satisfied because structurally it can't be satisfied. You know, unconscious greed. You know, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, your story did get put onto one of our Canadian shows called The Listener here in Toronto, where it ended up. It was a little bit different, but when they found they found diamonds in it, so it was kind of that story, but it's funny that it made it to a show that was, you know, somebody who was psychic or a mind reader. And
oh really? I never knew that. Yeah, that's funny.
I saw it. I might have seen it in the summer, but yeah, it was kind of funny. It was like, oh, I know this story.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, and ironically, your business partner also lived right beside me, which is so funny. But yeah. Interesting story.
Crazy story. So I mean, you know, a few of the core lessons. Like the one thing that I learned is that, you know, I mean, happiness, joy, freedom, abundance, the things we want, they don't exist outside of ourselves, right? We can find them within. And that's like this great cosmic game, you know, is we're put on this planet and we believe that we have to go outside of ourselves to seek the things that we need to fulfill ourselves. And we keep trying and trying and trying, you know, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you know, samsara. And it just doesn't work. And that was a huge lesson for me. The other lesson is that, you know, the reason all of this happened to me, I believe, is so that I could use this experience to help other people. Not make the same mistakes I made. Not that anybody's necessarily going to play at that level and have to go to prison, but, you know, being unconscious and being a slave to fear and thinking that you can insulate yourself from fear by acquiring things outside of yourself, that just creates suffering, right? That may not be a physical prison, but that's an inner prison, right? And the bars of that prison are fear, right? And derivatives of fear, anger, greed, loneliness, sadness, shame, all the things that keep us locked up and not able to, you know, experience what I believe we were all meant to experience, which is lives of joy and freedom. And so the purpose of it all was for me to share these messages and really bring them into kind of the business world, whether it's the corporate world or whether it's people that are self-employed, and help use kind of my transformation to help them raise their levels of consciousness so they can, you know, pursue these what seem to be ideals of joy and freedom, but it's the reality in which we live. It's just like, it's all the erroneous beliefs that we're not joyous and free, and we need to acquire things outside of ourselves that keep us from that.
Right, because that's what society has shown us time and time again. All of our experiences are on what we perceive as the outside of us, and we're looking outside and we don't ever have enough. And that fear, well, even when we do have enough, we feel we don't have enough because there's that fear mentality that's pushed inside of us. But we're going to go to break right now.
Okay.
And we are going to open up the phone lines. If you have a question for Mikhail, you can call us at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685, or You can send an instant feedback on the homepage of New Sky Radio. And you're listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends with Mikhail Mir and myself, Lori Houston, on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Find answers, insight, and guidance. Contact your departed guides and angels, too, through medium Laura Lee. Join her on Spirit Salon every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central. Come raise some heaven with Laura Lee.
Hi, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and host of Star Talk Radio. Join me every week where I have celebrity guests, experts, and comedic co-hosts, where our task is to bring the universe down to Earth.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. You are here with Lori Houston and Mikhail Mir. Mikhail can be reached at Mikhail Mir, which is MikhailMir.com. And myself, I am at intuitivesoul.com. So if you have a question, we are talking about abundance and becoming more financially conscious or business conscious. You can call us now at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Or you can send us an instant feedback right on the homepage of newskyradio.com. All right. So right before the break, we were talking about your journey and how it's been a very interesting journey. And I think, I think it's great that you were able to experience it in this lifetime and as well come to this place that I believe you already were, especially if you took philosophy, you know, as your undergrad. I mean, that's obviously that piece of you has always been there. And I think it's great that you were also able to go into that greed in that way. But I think all of us, no matter where we are, get stuck in this unconscious fear that it's never enough. I mean, whether it was created through childhood or whether it's part of the collective unconscious or whatever it is that sort of feeds into this planet, we certainly have a lot of fears around money. That becomes almost like a security blanket. I mean, it's the way we value on this planet through money. And when you don't have it, you struggle. And even though, and if you get more, you still struggle. You're struggling to get more.
Or your struggles are different.
They're different, yeah. But they're still struggling. It's like you're never satisfied. That, whether it's greed or whether it's just that emptiness that we're trying to fill with something, but we're never really truly connecting in with what we truly desire and want, which is more of an internal thing. Because if you ask somebody what they want, yeah, they're going to say, I want $1 million. But if you say, well, what is that going to give you? Or what are you going to do with that? That's what they truly want. I mean, it's that feeling of freedom, or it's that feeling of peace that they think they can achieve. But you've been in the eight figures. Was it in any way peaceful or free feeling?
No, you know, it's you can go for a little nicer vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you buy a little nicer clothes.
Yeah.
You can go to a little nicer restaurants, but pleasure is fleeting, right? It's always fleeting. And I think what we're all after is, you know, fulfillment that's not subject to any external measure.
Yeah.
Right? We want a calm mind, which takes practice, you know. We want an open heart, and that's a journey unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we want a fearless soul, right? And I think, you know, the pursuit of those three things, you know, brings that fulfillment, that lasting fulfillment.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're always looking outside ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like we're never, even for a lot of the spiritual people, we're still, you know, we know better. We know that it's within, and yet we still let that outer exterior mm-hmm. impact us mm-hmm. every day,
mm-hmm.
every minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like for me in my life, it's been a practice of surrender on a moment-to-moment basis. So, you know, it's just witnessing. It's just saying, okay, what's happening inside of myself? And, you know, a big part of where my coaching comes in the business realm is helping people understand that, yes, you know, there's an outer game to success. You got to do certain things in order to have certain things, but there's also an inner game to success. And what we need to do as a society is realign our definition of success and the way we go about achieving success. And so nobody really pays attention to that inner game. And it's so key, because as you know, and I'm sure the listeners here know, your inner world creates your outer world, right? But people have it reversed. And so, you know, for me, it's just been really, you know, I have a meditation practice, but then and a yoga practice, but it's taking that off the mat and off the cushion and really witnessing, on a moment to moment basis.
Feelings, not just in the class and
right exactly
while you're on the mat. Yeah.
Feelings, thoughts, sensations, and then really serving what arises in the moment, right? Not serving the fear that comes up from my story, right? Of the catastrophe that might happen if I don't make enough money, or if I lose this job, or if such and such happens, or, you know, the shame and guilt and regret of what happened in the past. I mean, none of that stuff really exists outside of our mind structures. We know that intellectually, mm-hmm. but then how do we actually internalize that knowledge? So internalizing the knowledge for me is just a complete, you know what, Lori? It's a complete and total rewiring of my brain and my way of being so that I'm constantly witnessing what is arising and serving what is arising, what's in front of me right now. And it's a huge act of faith, but the faith is that, you know what, we are love. We are loved. We are totally supported. And the only thing that's keeping us from all of that are our beliefs that we're not, right? Mm-hmm. And those beliefs are conditioned. So how do I recondition? And so the way that I recondition is by just that moment-to-moment practice and reminder of witnessing what's arising and serving what's arising. I had a teacher that said, you know, it's God within serving God without.
Right.
And that's the path. And that's the path, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a master of the path by any means, but I can see it now so clearly versus, you know, where I was previously.
Right.
And I see people get so off that path as well.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
We've sort of all been there.
Mm-hmm.
And very easy to do because when you don't have your basic needs being met, that fear becomes so much. It's like the elephant in the corner, you know.
But I think your basic needs are met. It's just a fear that they're not going to be met, right? Because in this moment, you know, your stomach's full, you got a roof over your head, you know, I'm sitting with you in your beautiful place, and how are your needs not being met?
Right.
But when we identify with the fear that, hey, maybe our needs might not be met, what we're doing is we're attracting, you know.
We're projecting it into the future. We're worrying about the future.
We're worrying about the future. And not only that, we're creating our reality to be based on the worries that we have. So it's a total shift in mind. And that's how we manifest in the world, right? We manifest through our feelings and our beliefs.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of different information to that coming, but I do believe, I mean, it's true. There's just so much of it is unconscious, so we have no idea what the cause is that is creating the effects in our lives, usually. And sometimes the cause is very obvious to others, and sometimes the cause is a little bit, well, very unconscious. But at the same time, the principles that we believe are true. I mean, the principles of the law of attraction, I mean, that is accurate. Although there's some things that kind of get hidden from us because of the unconscious aspect of our minds. But there's also the definitions that really play with us. Like when, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, abundance was the word to use. Abundance is the word that we need to shift everything over to abundance because we're worrying about money too much. And so we'll shift it over to a different word that has a different energy at that time. And it did. And then the definitions and the energy keep shifting back over to the fears. I mean, so we need to look at, again, these definitions or what we believe the definition of abundance is or our definition of success or our definition, you know, of money versus greed and all of the things that kind of play out in our everyday world because those seem to have an impact on how we create our reality or at least how we feel about the reality we're creating or seeing
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
or feeling inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, abundance is just not resisting. You know, if I can let go of resistance to life as it is, I'm in abundance.
Right.
So I think it can happen in a moment.
Right.
Right. And then there's a realization that I have physically. It's almost an exquisite, it's this exquisite distinction of sufficiency. And not too much, not more than. Not less than sufficiency, like nature, right? Like the trees, the leaves. I mean, they live in a place of sufficiency. Isn't nature abundance?
Mm-hmm.
So why can't we as humans be in that same place?
Right. And we'll come back with that question when we come back from break.
Okay.
You're listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends with Lori Houston and Mikhail Mir. And you're listening to on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. We'll be right back.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Seems okay, babe. You wake up and find that you're alone. Cause I'll be gone. Street, baby, will ask you why you're walking all alone and why you're on your own. And just say I'm gone, 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 'cause you done me wrong.
CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and advice should not be used in place of appropriate medical, financial, legal, or other professional counsel.
Believe. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. It's Lori Houston with Intuitive Soul and Friends, and we have Mikael Mir. Now, Mikael is going to offer to those listeners of Sky an introductory session for free. You just go to his website, which is MikaelMir.com. So MikaelMir.com, and he will allow you to experience.
Yeah, no, yeah, send me an email, and yes. We'll spend 45 minutes together.
Nice.
At no cost or obligation.
Nice. All right, so we are talking with Mikael Mir, and we are talking about, well, this is our first show, so we're sort of briefing over some of our ideas and thoughts around, I guess, financial consciousness.
We're jamming on abundance.
And right before break, we came up with something, and we were going to talk about it right after when we came back, but it was kind of this thought that, you know, the secret really, as much as it sort of allowed people to understand that they do have some control in their lives or they're in charge of, more their responses, but it sort of allowed people to bring it back into themselves. But The Secret was very greed-based and very much on everything external. And really, we need to align ourselves with our own soul essence or the real reason. Like, when we think of wants, we're thinking of things outside of ourselves most of the time, and that's not our true wants or our true desires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I think, you know, part of what we're going to discuss on this show is how to more align with, you know, maybe what our true desire is, which is something inside of us, not outside of us. Mm-hmm. And understanding that there are beliefs mm-hmm. that are going to conflict with that true desire, because mm-hmm. we've got the personality of us, which is ego and exterior driven, and then we've got the infinite internal aspect of ourselves that will go on forever, that is more on a spiritual and soul place, that really is part of what fuels us to be who we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you about The Secret. You know, I believe that there is definitely the way that the universe was designed. We have been given the ability to create our reality. We can write our story, and we are always getting in our lives exactly what we are most committed to. The issue is we have this subconscious programming, this operating system underneath that we're not aware of, that that plays a big part in creating our reality. You know, and those are doubts, and those are limiting beliefs. And so, yes, I desire to have $1 million, right? But if my subconscious operating system says you're not worthy, you're not capable, it doesn't matter how much I shift into my desire and my visualization and my gratitude and my visions of it being there already, those doubts are going to supersede. I think Abraham and Esther mm-hmm. Hicks, they talk about this. So they do a lot of work around this area. So, you know, while The Secret was a great commercial play, almost a get-rich-quick book, there were some elements that were good in it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in order to really create your reality, there's got to be alignment around desire and belief. And ultimately, what I've learned through my studying of quantum physics and consciousness and practices in my own life is that we create our reality through our feelings, right? And our thoughts, you know, and the pictures that we attach to those thoughts, you know, become beliefs, and the feelings are surrounded and our feelings are connected to our beliefs. So wherever those lay, that is what we're going to create in our life. So if we want to shift what we want in our lives, we have to shift, yes, our awareness, but also our beliefs and our feelings around what it is that we want. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you may want a mansion, right? You may say, look, I want to have a mansion in 6,000 square feet. And you can, I believe that there's nothing holding you back from creating that, except the fact that you have these doubts that how am I ever going to do that? There's no way I'm going to be able to do that.
See, my question would be, well, why do you want a house that big? Like, mm-hmm. you do need. Then realize that you're probably going to have to get someone to clean that for you. And all of those extra rooms, you know, what are you going to do with those? And I mean, to me, it would be more of, well, why would you want that? Like, what part of you feels like, is that to satisfy some aspect of feeling you're not enough with having a cute small place? Or is it truly something? I mean, this isn't something necessarily your soul wants. It doesn't mean that your soul wants you to be deprived and not have a life of whatever you desire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what's the reason behind it? Mm-hmm. Is it because you want to prove to others that you're better? Or are you proving to yourself that you're better? Or you just really, truly want this place because it represents freedom to you, or it represents peace to you, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of goes back to our earlier discussion.
Yeah.
Right? That, yeah, people want something outside themselves in order to feel fulfilled.
Yeah, it's kind of like that home.
Yeah.
You know, the home can really only be found inside first. Mm-hmm. And once it's found inside, you probably can create any home you want, or any home will have that essence within it. It's just a matter of, you know, the whys. And there's nothing wrong with the big homes. I mean, that some of them can be stunning and beautiful and have all sorts of, like, I would love to have a place with a pool in it. It would have to be a saltwater pool. Environmentally friendly and not have a lot of chlorine and stuff in it. But yes, I would love a place. You know, like, but we have these, you're right, we have these doubts as to why would I even, how would I ever be able to achieve
that? Yeah, my example is that. It's the doubt that gets in the way of you being able to manifest what you want. It's which really boils down to a lack of clarity. But your point around, you know, what do we really want, right? Mm-hmm. We say we want a house. We say we want a full bank account. We say we want whatever it is, whatever your pleasure is. We say we want those things. But is that what we're after?
Yeah. And then where is that line of how, you know, as a coach, you know, where do you set that line? Because you can help people achieve what they want. But when you feel or you're not sure they're in alignment with it, like where do you help them, or how do you help them find that piece of alignment? So that, because I have somebody who comes to me quite frequently and we do clearings around his business and clearings around him. And he, you know, his intention is to create a lot of money. And for him, that represents freedom, although I also know that there are fears attached to that and there's, you know, other stuff to it. We're never satisfied, but we also want to be able to have a life where we feel that freedom or that peace or that essence that's within us, outside of us as well.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of share my experience. I mean, for me, when I got connected to my purpose and I started living my purpose, and my values, which were aligned with what I believe is divine law, which are things like service, you know, above all else, without attachment, things like, humility, compassion, you know, really, and really that intention to help another person. Right? And to use whatever special divine gifts I've been given to help somebody else, that's where the real satisfaction comes from. That's where the fulfillment comes from. And I can tell you that it's a much better high, you know, than any deal or any purchase or any other, you know, material expression of freedom. Without a doubt. And when I've let go of my attachment to those things and just been in service, how can I help someone? You know, still using some cleverness around, okay, well, I have to make money. I need a business model. And I do, and I need balance in my life. And I have a wife, I have a kid, three kids, I have a mortgage. So, I mean, I have an expense structure that I have to generate and then, you know, provide for retirement and these types of things. But, you know, do it in a way where, at the end of the day, you know, it's not like I've got, you know, a chunk of dough, everything's taken care of, and I can just read all the time. Do it in a way that I've really contributed to the well-being of other people. I've used my creativity to overcome obstacles and, you know, really serve deeply from a place of love and compassion. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the open-hearted piece. That's a journey. And it's as a man in this world, I will tell you that is a tough journey because we do everything from our heads. Yeah. Both heads, actually. I know that's not this type of show, but oh no, that's my 4:30 show. Sorry. But well, you know, like, listen, women, you know, intuitively know that their wisdom resides in their heart. You're turning all red, Lori.
So are you.
yeah, so women know that their wisdom resides in their heart. You know, that's where knowing is. I mean, that's where the power is, right? Mm-hmm. And even in the vulnerability, and in that vulnerability, being able to connect to another person, that's where wisdom is. That's where power is. For a man, you know, we're analytical. You know, we have to be clever all the time, and you know, we make our and we make our way in the world, and by using our brain, that protects us and keeps us safe. So we don't really know how to sort of live in the heart, and you know, so I guess I was, you know, it was destiny for me to go through what I went through just to crack open my heart, right, to where, you know, at some point I was just in tears on my knees saying, you know, God, why? Right. That'll do it to you.
That'll do it to you.
Right.
And we will come back from break and we'll discuss that a little bit more, maybe about the whole being your headpiece, because I think a lot of us struggle with that. So when we come back from break, we will be talking with Mikhail Mir. We're talking about financial abundance or financial consciousness. You can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where spiritual guides nourish your soul every weekday. Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura, and Kira. Laura Lee's Spirit Salon. Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lira. Life by Number with Celeste. And Keeping Life Real with Dr. Susan J. Stone. It's Spiritually Speaking Radio, Spirit Guide Radio, at 11 p.m. Eastern on New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. New Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Mystic Radio with Rob and Alexis Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 noon Pacific as metaphysical mother and TV personality Robin Alexis helps countless people around the globe live fuller and more conscious lives. Robin serves you using her gifts as a medium, medical intuitive, past life reader, and more. Get your free on-air readings Wednesday at 3 Eastern and 12 noon Pacific right here on the Sky. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Back. This is Intuitive Soul with Friends with Lori Houston and Mikael Mir. Mikael can be reached at mikaelmir.com, and myself, I'm on intuitivesoul.com. And we've been talking about abundance and financial consciousness and business consciousness. And right before the break, we started talking about Mikael believes that, you know, for men, it's much more difficult. I do believe that for women, we certainly are able to, it's more culturally accepted for women to have a more open heart or to definitely be intuitive. And for men, it's been definitely a bit of a struggle. But I do believe that we all have a challenge with, and this is now phrasing the question properly, moving from our heads to our hearts, or allowing our hearts to be in the driver's seat and finding that balance between the two places. Somehow, I know I was mentioning about Greg Braden and being at one of his workshops a few weeks ago in Toronto. And, you know, he said that journey, that 8 to 12 inch journey from your mind to your heart is the most difficult journey. It can be easy, but it is challenging because we do value our minds considerably. Like, that's the one thing. Everything, you know, books and education, everything's geared around building our minds. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't always
there,
learning.
Isn't there a distinction, though, like, because our minds are in our hearts, too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more from the, more maybe in our brains?
Maybe, yeah.
Or
our heads to our hearts.
Thought structures, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Mental. We have a consciousness in our hearts, yeah. For sure. For yeah. sure. And he also says that, you know, our hearts radiate 5,000 times mm-hmm. more magnetically. That's where we attract from, is our heart. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are so closed usually mm-hmm. because they're so wounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that takes you back to the whole manifesting question, yeah. Right? If your heart has that multiple of energy, that's the place to manifest from.
Mm-hmm. But to do it requires us to heal all of those traumas that are there, that are not keeping it closed, but are in front of it because we're afraid that we have to protect it. We think that vulnerability, that our heart is so vulnerable, and yet it's our strongest mm-hmm. our strongest mm-hmm. organ, our strongest mm-hmm. place mm-hmm. in our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know it.
Yeah, we.
But it's not always easy.
We
to
know
act
it.
From there.
Maybe we know it intellectually, and maybe we do have some experiences of it. Yet at the same time, the experiences outside of ourselves and the experiences that we've had in this life teach us something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they teach us the opposite because mm-hmm. we're coming from this wounded place,
and we're up against so much collective karma.
Yeah.
Right, so you're trying to regroove those samskaras, right? You're trying to rewire that whole brain. And it's like you're swimming upstream when you're doing it because you're being bombarded with these images and models and thought structures and, you know, just waves of energy that are the collective karma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting harder and harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real, it feels to me like there's a real calling now for us to just step it up and really ground ourselves in our truth, which is divine essence, right? That's what we are. We're just, you know, a physical expression of the divine. We just don't realize it. So really grounding ourselves in that. That's the call right now. Otherwise, you know, I guess this, we're just going to take on a completely different form because, you know, the planet certainly is heading towards, you know, catastrophe. Yeah. Unless these shifts take place, and they are taking place, so that's the good thing. Yeah. And if you know, listen, if the planet completely self-destructs, I'm sure that's all good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of that is fear projected again, because I do believe, and that was also kind of highlighted in Greg's teachings, that you know some of the stats, the statistics that they were looking at were only from a time when they actually started collecting stats. So the weather, looking at the weather patterns and whether we're actually going through a global warming, we actually have to go much further back, like thousands and thousands of years, to actually look at the pattern that's going on. And the pattern is we're actually moving into a cold section. We're actually moving into another ice age. Won't happen for quite a while, but this whole global warming, yes, we've interfered and we've affected the planet, but it's so small compared to the actual, we're just in a cycle. I think it's fascinating. I do think that we could blow up the planet with our technology that we've created. I don't know that we're actually causing anything necessarily. We're depleting her. For sure. But massive, she would kick us off.
Massive depletion, you know, which we don't know what the impact's going to be. These tsunamis are happening and there's massive destruction as a result of it.
And maybe
you see people,
Earth taken back.
Yeah, you see people, you see, animals dying, you know, Greg Braden's a smart guy, but I think Al Gore's a smart guy too, right? And he did some pretty
good. Yeah, they sort of proved his stuff, but yes.
Really?
Oh yeah.
They proved that his stuff is off?
Yeah, I mean, they're not saying that he's full of crap or anything. I mean, his statistics didn't go far back enough. Hmm. Like it didn't at all. It went back to where they were just looking at, when they started to actually put it in the books, which was only back in the late 1800s.
You know, but the fact is that there's still massive famine.
We need to find balance.
There's ecological destruction. We don't really know what the implications are. Everybody kind of conjectures back and forth. There's terrorism.
Yeah.
Violence.
People are the problem.
Right? I mean, so, I'm sorry?
We're going to have to wrap up.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. we're coming to the end.
Let's wrap it up. This has been fantastic.
It has. Now we're moving into totally different conversations, but yes. But it all fits together,
does
actually.
It? Okay, good.
It does totally.
Because I like jamming.
So you have been listening to Intuitive Soul with Friends, and Mikhail, this has been a great show, and you are being blessed right now to contact him for an introductory session that's 45 minutes. So just go to Mikhail Meir, MikhailMeir.com, email him from there and contact him, and Sky listeners will get quite a treat. And you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I'm Laurie Houston on intuitivesoul.com, and may love and joy be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.